Welcome back to another episode of Magical Boys. It is I, one half of your Reese's Peanut Butter Cup co-host podcast pack. I was trying to go somewhere with that, but it didn't quite stick the landing.
Am I peanut butter? Is that...
No, like, but there's, since there's like two of them in like the little packet, so we're each one
I
of the little
peanut butter. It was a racial thing.
No, not this time. Not everything's once. About race, Ruben. It's me, DJ Kirkland. Well, actually it is.
And it's me, Ruben Medina, the peanut butter, and this is what we're talking about.
Yeah. I'm the chocolate. You're the peanut butter.
I'm the paper that you throw away. Just getting in the way of the good stuff.
No, you're part of the good stuff.
I'm so tired, DJ.
Oh, why are you tired, BB?
I had this is real talk for a minute, but it's also hopefully real talk to help anyone listening who's in a similar place. I started seeing a therapist a couple weeks ago.
That's
just
awesome.
To, like, get my shit together. And not that I even feel like my shit isn't that together. I was just like, there's some things that I could get together better. And just like, also like, I don't know, learning how to keep like, I had like a really good like session today, and just like understanding that I don't like communicate as much as I think I do. Mm-hmm. And that like I... to like try to like make things better, or like make things like okay for me and others around me, or to like not make them feel bad, I'll push shit down, and then it comes up in different ways that aren't good for the people around me. But the reason why I'm so tired, besides that process being like really good for you, but also like makes you very emotionally raw and drained.
Oh, absolutely.
Was my appointment was at 7 a.m. today.
Oh my gosh! Yeah, that's, so it was like that's hecka early.
Wake up, walk a half mile to the office, to the therapist office, cry for an hour, and then go walk a different half mile to work and just try not to cry on the way to work.
And now, so that's what I call unpacking your trauma.
So I feel great.
Well, like, shout outs to therapy.
Shout out to therapy, y'all.
Right here at Magical Boys, we stand therapy.
If you have the means, or like figure out, there's places that'll, you know, do it for, there's resources if you don't have much money for it that you can use. But yeah, man, if you're just like, if you feel overwhelmed or whatever, man, go talk to a fucking stranger that's like certified to deal with your bullshit.
Right. And like, what's so cool about that is that they are there to like help you. It's like judgment free. It's like, they're there to like offer things to help you. And it's not like talking to like a friend about something. I mean, you could definitely, there's definitely value in talking to your peers about things that you're going through with them. But it's a different relationship when you're working with a therapist. So I think that's, I think it's like super important, and I'm really happy for you that you that you're going to therapy for your stuff. It's important.
Well, and guess what? Therapy, going to your therapy, like especially the first one, it's like going on like a blind date. Like, you don't have to keep going to that person. Like, if you don't feel comfortable, if it doesn't feel like the right fit, try and find someone else. Try someone else, and try not to get too like disheartened or too bummed out if it doesn't go well. But you'll find someone who you're comfortable with, and then you can cry for an hour.
Yo, shout outs to crying. And I think they said this on the read, but I think it rings true. Like, if you're a person of color, like in America or for anywhere, like in that matter, dealing with the frameworks of having to navigate through white supremacy, I think that every person of color should just have, like, therapy on tap.
Like, yeah, like, how are you not just, like, crying all the time?
Yeah.
That's where I'm at, so.
Right. I mean, and that's not to say that, like, white people don't also need therapy, but, like, let's be real.
Like, yeah, it's a different thing.
It's a different thing for us with navigating our own shit in this world that's upholding white supremacy, but that's a conversation for another day.
We're just cracking off a piece.
We just went there, and we are 5 minutes into the show.
But there's your self-help, you know, if you're if you're on the been thinking about it or you're on the verge of it, take it from your, I don't know, do I seem well adjusted? I mean, hey guys, I do a podcast. I get two podcasts and I do a lot of stuff and I'm happily married and life is there's a whole bunch of stuff, but even I still can use some therapy. So, you know, just take it from your old pal Reuven. You're no one's too fucked up or not fucked up enough to not do therapy. I don't know if any of these words are making sense.
I hear what you're saying. I'm picking up what you're putting down.
This is my Sonic Says.
Oh my gosh. So what else is happening besides therapy and all that goodness? Everything okay? Everything good? You good?
Yeah. I've just been really, been really busy. I've been trying to find, I've been agonizing over the right camera to buy for my Japan honeymoon. Don't fall down that rabbit hole, because man, it's been consuming me. I obsess when it comes to buying, if it's expensive electronics, even not expensive shit.
Oh yeah.
If it's expensive, I'm just like, I gotta pick the right thing.
I mean, you're about to invest a ton of money into a thing, and you better make sure it's the right thing. So definitely don't blame you for doing that.
That's why I have two of these on my desk right now. Cause I'm just like, which one am I going to keep?
Oh my gosh. That was Brandon calling me with our podcast intro song.
Oh my God. How high on your own supply, DJ?
I am just so high on everything.
How embarrassing.
How embarrassing for me. I thought my phone was on silent. Yikes.
How embarrassing that your podcast is.
It's really good, okay? The song is really good.
It's fucking great. I should listen to our show more so I hear it more often.
Oh, I don't listen to the show back.
Because we take time so we're in it, and then we also edit it.
Yeah.
That's so our job. Like,
I already hear my annoying big gay voice enough as it is. And
so big and gay.
My entire day job is around my big gay voice, like using it all day.
Mm.
And I'm just like, wow, my voice is so big and it's so gay. And
do you have any other adjectives for your...
No. Other than that, it's loud. And that's true. And I can't help it.
You are boisterous.
I can't help it. It's my voice. I honestly get really, really self-conscious about it.
Your voice is cute. Shut up.
Oh, thank you. It's always yours. I like your voice, too.
Yeah, you're cute. Your voice is cute.
You're cute and your voice is cute.
Shut up.
Whatever.
I'm right. You're wrong. Shut up.
Fine. Are you playing anything?
No. No, I've been, every waking moment has been life. And,
yeah.
And obsessing over these stupid games. And reading reviews and watching videos. And probably should realize by this point that I have a problem. But yeah, no, I haven't been playing anything. I really, 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 I'm so tired. I really, really, really wanted to pick up Sekiro, but I was like, I don't want to pick it up before I leave for Japan, because it's like, I'm not going to beat it between now and, like, next Thursday.
Right.
And I know if I'm gone for a month, I'm going to come back and be like, what am I doing in this game?
Right.
So I don't want to do that. Though I do really want to play Sekiro. I should finish Kingdom Hearts, but man, there's like so little motivation for you to pick up that controller and play Kingdom Hearts.
No, I mean, like, if we're being real, I definitely feel the same way. I'm kind of like, I feel like the initial, like, oh my God, it's been like 13 years since the game came out and I have to play it. That part of it is worn off, and then it's more or less me being like, huh, so I'm enjoying this game, but it's very much still a PlayStation 2 game, and I'm trying really hard to, like, just get through the experience without being super hypercritical of it. And I thought my phone was on silent again, but it's not. Now it actually is.
It's the worst.
I'm a piece of shit.
DJ, this is professional.
I know.
People have high expectations of us.
So bad. But it's like, it's getting to the point where I'm like, when is this game done?
Oh, is it long?
I'm like 27 hours into it. I'm close. I think the game is around 30-ish hours, so I'm pretty close. Like, I feel like I'm done with all of the Disney shit.
I was listening to Waypoint just put up their Kingdom Hearts 3 lore reasons, I was listening to it because I was like, I don't give a fuck about spoilers at this point. And the takeaway I got was not that it was a bad game, because none of them said that, but that they said that nothing happens, like, story-wise, that, like, nothing really happens in the game. Mm-hmm. And I was like, that's cool.
Yeah, like, I totally agree. It's like, so far, I'm like, there's a lot of talking about nobodies and data and heartless and organizations and keyblades. And I'm like, I guess. Sure. I really like playing the game. Like, as a game, it is fun to play. Like, I enjoyed the gameplay loop of this game very much. I think we talked about it on our previous episode that I really wish that the Disney stuff were used in more meaningful ways, because it's really, for the most part, pretty baseline. And the parts of the game that were just like replaying the movies are not really that fun. No. Because it's like, I mean, it was funny to watch Let It Go, but then it cut to Sora, Donald, and Goofy just like, ooh, like what's happening? Like, just sing the song.
Just cut to Goofy with his dog wiener hanging out. Just not even acknowledge it. Then I would...
Yeah.
Just give me just a little bit something extra, Nomura. Just a tiny...
Yeah, and I mean, one part of it, I've heard that Nomura had the freedom to do whatever he wanted.
Then put a dog dick in it, Nomura.
I mean, you could put a dog dick in it if you'd like. I mean, something. But if that is the case, to where he wasn't, like, limited at all by the machine that is the Disney Corporation with this game, it's like... Is it because you were working on a million different things at the same time to where you, like, didn't have ideas outside of just replaying the movies?
It does feel like that. Like, it feels like the game took a long time and then not much was done.
Right.
In some ways. Which is, I mean, what I'm sure a lot was done, but it's just like...
Yeah.
I don't know. It just doesn't... It's just, I don't know.
I personally didn't know what I was expecting. Like, I really kind of came into 3 with zero expectations because... I don't know what this says about me, but I whenever like a new installment of a thing comes out, I attempt to not get very excited about them.
It's because you're a savvy nerd.
Because I don't want to get disappointed. So like when people are like, before Smash came out, people are like, oh, like, they could put this character in the game, and it could be this one, they could put Goku in it, and blah, 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 blah. And I'm like, you guys, I'm like, sure.
But I like that your Smash, like, your Smash fan impression was like a 12-year-old kid who just ate, like, the Kool-Aid flavor packet. Which is like, oh, who guessed?
Like, the Kool-Aid packet as well as, like, a Monster energy drink. like at the same time. But, like, probably the overall maturity level of competitive Smash is about 12 years old. So,
snap.
So, like, I mean, no shade, but, like, let's call a spade a spade. So, like, I try to temper my expectations, and I don't, like, try to psych myself up about this kind of stuff, because it's only setting yourself up for failure, because it's never going to be what your wildest dreams are going to be. Like, realistically, at least in my experience, like, anytime a game comes out and they think it's going to be X, Y, and Z, and then I just see it all over Twitter, they're like, oh, like, I'm so mad that, like, this one character from this one really obscure game that I played, like, 10 years ago that hasn't been relevant to anybody in over a decade didn't make it into Smash. Like, I could go on and on about that, but I try to temper my expectations, so that's circling back. I didn't have the high expectations for Kingdom Hearts 3, But what I did expect was to get really pretty anime cutscenes. It's going to be a lot of bullshit, talking about a lot of nothing. And Donald and Goofy are going to be there.
According to at least what Natalie Walker on Waypoint, shout outs to Natalie Walker, shout outs to Waypoint. You'll never hear this. according to what she was saying, Union Cross is like super, super like story stuff from Union Cross, which is the, I think it's in Japan, in some markets, it's a web browser game, but here it's a mobile game. Mm. Like a lot of story stuff from that is like really, really important to Kingdom Hearts 3. And it's like a game that no one played. Well, not like no one, but like most people who are playing the console games did not play.
I definitely didn't play it. What I did do was watch Eurogamer's like 30-minute like breakdown of Kingdom Hearts, of the entire franchise, and the timelines of which where everything takes place. Which, if you haven't watched that, go and watch that because it is hilarious. So I've enjoyed what I've played of this game. I'm ready for it to be done. Because Devil May Cry 5 is sitting like right next to it.
God,
and I haven't even taken it out of the wrapper yet because I'm like, I need to beat Kingdom Hearts first because I wanted to just rip it open and play Devil May Cry, and that game is like 15 hours, so I can knock that out in a weekend.
I need to play DMC. I need to play Resident Evil 2. Mm-hmm. I'm downloading some Switch games for Japan to play. Mm-hmm. Like I downloaded Minute because Minute's supposed to be really good.
Yeah.
Damn, there's like a lot of games.
The dry spell of a year of games, like, doesn't exist anymore. Like, we're past that era. Like, there's just games coming out of every which way.
Only a few months till E3.
And nobody's going.
And no one's going. It's gonna be Xbox, just chilling. That's gonna be weird.
Yeah, E3's going to be weird this year. I don't know.
You know what I am doing, though? I am reading, just because I don't have any games I'm playing. Though I somehow took as much time as if I did have games I'm playing. Mm-hmm. I'm reading manga, a couple different things, but Blue Flag?
Really good. Haven't heard of it. Really good? What's it about?
Really good. It's, why do I explain this? So, you have the main character, Ichi Nose, or Taichi. And his childhood friend, Toma. And, like, Taichi's sort of, like, kind of a normal high school kid. Plays his PS Vita. Like, nothing, whatever. And then his childhood friend, Toma, is, like, hyper, hyper popular. And is on the baseball team. Mm-hmm. And is just, like, rad as shit. And so Taichi kind of, like, has kept his distance from Toma because he's so popular. Mm-hmm. But, like, Toma's like, yo, you're my friend. Let's hang. And then there's Futaba, Kuze, who is like this really, really shy and clumsy girl, and she's like, I'm super in love with your friend, can I like talk to you about it? And it's really cute. It's like kind of him like trying to help her out to like figure out how to talk to him and get closer to him. But pretty sure this comic is queer. Because Toma, and like by pretty sure I mean like it must be, unless they're gonna like deny some shit, which would be terrible. Because Toma appears to be interested in his childhood friend Taichi. So he's this like big beautiful baseball boy who seems to be gay for his childhood friend, which is awesome.
Ooh, I love that.
Or at least, you know, or bi, who knows, but it seems to be gay. And it's just like a really, really good kind of, it's not romantic comedy-ish, but at the same time, like, it's a good mixture of comedy and, like, serious moments, like comedy and character drama. It's really nice. Like, I'm honestly liking it a lot. Nice. Just has, like, a good vibe to it. And the art's really nice. It's just good.
Is that, where are you reading that? Where could one go to procure this?
Reading it on the internet.
On the internet? Cool. I'm gonna look it up.
I need to see if it's actually in, because I have my Shonen Jump, but I don't think it's in the Shonen Jump stuff at all. But it's really good. It's like, well, I guess this is a news thing, so I'll wait till we get to news. But yeah, no, it's good. I'm just saying, if you read it, if you like that sort of stuff, you should read it, because it's really, really good.
Excellent.
Really, really nice. And I also started reading Stravaganza, which is like, it's about this like princess who like keeps like or queen who keeps like leaving castle walls to like do shit in the woods and like be a warrior and stuff. It's like really horny, but like pretty chill so far. I don't know. It's just like, it's kind of funny, but really horny. It's also like, I can't, it's hard to like say what like genre it is 100%. Yeah. But I like it so far. So yeah, I'm reading some manga.
Yeah. Reading those magmas.
Yeah. What are you playing, DJ?
So since I was basically, I was at Emerald City.
You're on Sci-Fi Wire.
Yeah, that was a lot. I'd never been in a green room before.
Oh, DJ.
So I was in the Sci-Fi Wire green room, and you have to get out of this green room thing. It's pretty cool. Yeah. Emerald City was this year was like out of control. I felt really bad because I was only at my table for like half the convention, but that's because I was like literally in interviews or panels and all that stuff for like the first half of the weekend, which I'm super grateful and happy to have had all of those things. But I felt bad because people came by my table multiple times looking for me. And Bobby, who flatted Black Mage for me, was my table partner this year since Brandon couldn't go, and who was a fucking trooper. Like, love you to pieces. You were amazing. He was so good. He was such a good table partner. He held it down for me while I was gone, and he was like, "Yeah, a bunch of people came by looking for you." And like, every time they came by, like, you weren't here because, you know, you're doing your thing. And I'm like, it felt so bad. But, it was an amazing experience. The Sci-Fi Wire interviews were fun. The Sci-Fi Wire interview about Dream Daddy, I think that the interviewer kind of thought that we were part of the game development process, which... that was a common thing throughout the entire weekend. They basically all thought that, like, oh, you must have worked in the games too if you worked in the comics. And I'm like, no, like, Oni has the license to the comics. And my editor, Ari, was like, hey, do you want to draw a Dream Daddy comic? And I said, of course I want to draw a Dream Daddy comic. Like, why wouldn't I? So I did. It was really cool to kind of talk about that. And the conversation that we had about Black Mage, like, I was worried that I wouldn't have the opportunity to have said the things that I wanted to say about the book. But fortunately, she kind of, like, lobbed us questions that kind of was a great, launching pad for me to say the things that I wanted to say about her book. So I came away from her interview feeling really good about it. So that was a lot of fun. But since coming back from Emerald City, it's just been lots of Kingdom Hearts. And I started playing Smash Ultimate again, which... being away from the game for a little bit was good because I came back to playing it and was like performing really well when I was playing with like a group of my friends online in like a lobby, which was super fun because it's like a bunch of other like comic book artists or illustrators or game designers. We all like have like a private Discord server and we were just like, do you want to play some Smash? And that's literally all that it's for. We're like, hey, like who's free to play some rounds? And then we just all play Smash together, which is super fun. But other than that, I just have Devil May Cry looking at me, right in the face. But I'm not gonna touch that until I finish Kingdom Hearts. And we're in the process of moving to our house, so it'll probably be like a couple more weeks till I can actually dig deep into Devil May Cry. But that's all that I'm playing. What are you watching, sir? Good sir.
So, like, when this is like a habitual thing for me where it's like, it's hard for me to sit down when I'm like in a mood where I have like things to read or things to do. Mm-hmm. It's hard for me to like sit down to watch things.
Mm-hmm.
So, Erin, what she does is she tends just to have like YouTube stuff on in the background because it's like, it's low commitment for paying attention. It's right. Just kind of nice to have on. So, right. Because of that, I've watched like, I don't know how many hours of the Try Guys.
Oh, Eugene is beautiful.
Eugene is gorgeous.
Like, it's dumb how beautiful
Eugene is. Dummy beautiful. Like, yeah. He's just... And I love Keith. I actually love all of them. Yeah. Zach's kind of a piece of shit, but I love him. But, God, the Try Guys is so charming and so funny and so good and, like, earnest. Anyway, they used to be with BuzzFeed. They broke off. Now they're doing their own thing.
Thank God.
if nothing else, just watch it to see Eugene.
Just look at that beautiful, beautiful man.
Just appreciate that he's breathing and alive, and that sort of thing can exist in this terrible world.
I mean,
he's honestly, so beautiful.
What a blessing.
He is a blessing. Everyone's like, guys, this is the worst timeline. I'm like, but then how is Eugene
here? How is that possible?
How could this be the worst timeline if
how
Eugene's
could they,
here?
How could they both exist in the same plane?
They can't. It doesn't make any sense.
It doesn't.
I know it's bad. I know it's bad out there. Don't get me wrong. Yeah. It's terrible. But Eugene exists.
Yeah,
Eugene's... Like, he's my new therapy.
Yeah, like, the world is on fire, but, like, I feel like because a lot of content creators know that the world is on fire, that, like, people are really, like, one, like, going all in on the thirst, and two, just, like, being super committed to the horny, and just, like, living their best lives, titties out, whatever, everything out, ass, titties, whatever you got, is
all out, everything?
Everything's out. And, yeah, people are just making good content to help us, like, escape this, dumpster fire that is our reality as of right now. So, thank you, Try Guys, for having that beautiful, beautiful man as part of your crew.
They do normal Try Guys episodes, but then a lot of the Try Guys have, like, their own sort of, like, mini, like, things that they do a lot. Like, Keith will do a thing where he eats everything on a menu from like a fast food place, and he doesn't eat all of it, but it's just like to taste each thing and be like, oh, okay, like what's good on this menu. Eugene has Rank King, where he ranks something. And he did one, I'm just talking about this because it was very thirst and like it was like someone put a desert in my mouth. It's like him ranking Girl Scout cookies.
Oh,
and
good.
So they set up, like, he's, like, in this, like, tiny, like Ranger Boy Scout, like, shorts, way too short uniform.
Oh, thank God.
Hanging out in, like, one of the living rooms with, like, a pup tent and stuff. And usually they have, like, an expert or someone to help him do the ranking. And it's, like, one of, like, the family friends or someone they know, it's, like, they're like, little girls who are Girl Scouts. And I guess he didn't realize that was what was gonna happen, so they come in and he's just like, oh, are these shorts too much?
I just queued it up. They are little.
Yes. He gets so just like mortified. He's like, I have to go change these shorts.
No.
I know. And I was like, these little girls just ruined.
I'm adding this to my watch later because I'll be watching this.
Just all of it. Later. Eugene's too much. Anyway, Try Guys. I'm watching a lot of Bon Appetit. It's a cooking publication website. But they have really, really good YouTube content. And they have a series called Gourmet Makes. And what it is it's one of their people in their test kitchen. I'm trying to remember what her name is. Claire Saffitz. And Claire Saffitz attempts to make a gourmet version. And when I say gourmet, she basically just attempts to make it as close as possible of like a very common thing like Twinkies or Pringles or Cheez-Its or Ferrero Rocher. There's one, she does Gushers. Where she attempts to make gushers, and it's just like very charming. And also, if you like cooking, just so interesting how she like figures out and like tests and like eventually comes to making something like as close as possible to the something that is, you know, normally mass produced by a bunch of machines. How she like makes a version in the kitchen, and at the end of it, she's like, "Cool, if you want to make your own gushers, this is how you do it," and like breaks it all down. It's just really good.
I love a gusher, those teal ones, like the sour. There were the sour ones, I think. The sour berry.
I still don't know how they didn't just name gushers cummies.
All right, we're gonna pack it up.
Okay, but how? But think about it.
Good
just
night.
Think about it. I'm just saying.
We gotta like, go, you guys.
It's a gummy.
Oh,
but
my
it
God.
Bursts in your mouth. this tropical fruit gummy is about to squirt in your mouth. How are you not going to name that cummies? I mean, I understand how you're not going to for purposes of not being nasty, but I'm gonna make off-brand gushers, and they're going to be called cummies. Or squirters. I don't give a fuck.
Yikes. Oh my god, I love it.
One big yike. And I saw Captain Marvel.
Yeah, what did you think?
I liked it a lot. Mm-hmm. I think I'd put it in my top, like, there's so many Marvel movies now. I was like, top 10 is like half of them. Like, maybe top 5. Like, yeah. I think Ragnarok might be my, like, number one.
Mm-hmm.
And then Black Panther.
Mm-hmm.
And then either the new Spider-Man or I liked Infinity War a lot.
Yeah.
But Captain Marvel's up there. I just think it did such a good job of, like, this movie is, like, pretty much all women.
Mm-hmm.
Like everyone who's like a dope badass mentor in it is a woman for the most part. They did a cool thing with the story I wasn't expecting, especially as someone who like knows what the Skrull are in Marvel Comics.
Yeah.
Which the Skrull are a major part of it. It's like very like 90s kind of Riot Girl, which is dope. Like the tone of it. Mm-hmm. Brie Larson does a great job. I just thought it was very charming, and it is. It's very like, I think, obviously, like, not something that I can experience the feeling of, but if I was a young girl or even just like a woman of my own age in the theater, like, how dope it probably is to see a movie that's like so much like made for you,
mm-hmm.
in so many ways. So I was like, this is dope. So you know, I liked
that,
it a lot.
You know what that is? Mm-hmm. It's called having empathy.
What?
Yeah. Like, well, who'd have thought?
I thought it was great.
Yeah, no, it was so good. Like, I really
also the ending without spoilers goes full on anime.
Oh yeah, yeah. I'm ready for this, and I love like the majority of my Marvel intake outside of like Marvel versus Capcom and the X-Men cartoon in the 90s has been the MCU. Like, that's been my real, that's how I consume Marvel stuff. And I've enjoyed a lot of what they do in the MCU. I really liked that the kind of like ensemble movies like Infinity War and Civil mm-hmm. War and all that stuff. It feels, the story beats feel very anime. They feel very like OVAs to me. And that kind of like, we are going to have these battles with these characters from these two different worlds that we don't normally see together, or characters that are in the same story but don't interact in those ways normally, being able to do things together, or having characters that don't normally get the spotlight to have those moments. Like, I still think about in Civil War, where that first opening scene where Black Widow, that she's like running through like the bazaar that they're at,
mm-hmm.
like that scene was amazing. Her whole scene there was really, really cool. And I also love the I guess she's like a SHIELD agent, the white girl with the ponytail, in the middle of the movie when they're basically fighting Bucky. In like mm-hmm. a kind of like shopping and like in the kind of like food court area, like that scene was really dope. Like, there are a lot of really cool set pieces that felt very anime to me that I really, really enjoyed. But overall, I like a lot of the MCU movies. The only two that I haven't seen are like the ones that people consider to be like the really bad ones. Like, I haven't seen Thor 2 or what was the other one with what's the other? It's not. It was the one before Civil War.
Age of Ultron.
Yeah, that's the only other one I hadn't seen.
Age of Ultron's not good. The first two Thor movies aren't very good.
Yeah.
I haven't seen. I think the only one I haven't seen is Ant-Man and the Wasp,
which that was a lot of fun. I enjoyed Ant-Man.
I heard it was good. I just didn't get around to seeing it.
Yeah.
I think as far as like direct MCU stuff, I haven't. That's the only one I maybe haven't seen.
Yeah. Yeah. But yeah, like, I've enjoyed the MCU a lot, and I'm very excited about Endgame. I'm excited that it's going to be like a 3-hour. It's clocking in at 3 hours and 2 minutes.
Lord, give me a pee break though.
Like, that 2-minute mark is gonna that those last 2 minutes of that third hour, that's when the shit really goes down.
That better be 2 minutes to piss.
Yeah, somewhere in there, there's got to be a little pee break, a little pee pee.
There's got to be 3 hours.
Mm-hmm.
Don't even get
out of here. A little intermission, like make it the Titanic of Marvel movies. I'm down. I'm good with a little intermission.
How long was Titanic?
4?
No,
was I think. It? Hold on,
Titanic. This is Magical Boys Investigative Reporting.
3 hours and 15 minutes.
3 hours? Was there an intermission for that movie?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure there was an intermission for Titanic.
Damn, y'all. Damn, Avatar was almost 3 hours? There was not an intermission for that movie.
Yikes.
Damn, Avatar.
Gone with the Wind is literally 4 hours.
We have the same Google search results here, because I'm just like, also Titanic 2.
Didn't see that one.
I don't think history did that.
Yeah, I don't know.
Low budget disaster film.
Yeah,
okay.
Interesting. Direct to VHS.
Okay.
Maybe.
Okay.
Direct to DVD.
Okay.
Direct to TV.
Yeah. Avatar. What? Man, that movie was really big, and no, I just feel like it's not actually a thing.
Yeah. I don't know. But yeah, I'm really looking forward to whatever Endgame is ready to fuck me up with. I'm just excited to see Captain Marvel do more things. I'm excited to see Okoye do more things. I'm ready.
I'm excited for Captain Marvel and Valkyrie to be girlfriends.
Yeah.
Both of them have retweeted like shipping art of that and have been like, this is so cute.
Yeah.
Like they both are on board and I'm like, yes.
Good.
People were like at the end of the new trailer for the new Avengers movie, like when Thor meets Captain Marvel and he's like, I like her. Everyone's like, oh, Thor and Captain Marvel. And I was like, nah, dog, like, he's finding Valkyrie a girlfriend. Valkyrie is his girl, so he's just like, hey, I found a really dope lady you might be interested in. Because he's an ally. Because he's a lesbian ally.
Yeah. Wow.
Wow. What are you watching, DJ?
What am I watching? I'm watching a lot of anime.
I'm excited about at least one of these things.
Yeah. I am excited because I finally started watching JoJo's Bizarre Adventure.
Fucking finally.
I know. It's been like looking at me in my queue. And like, since now the first season is on Netflix, so I've been watching it and working at the same time, so I've been watching the dub. Yes. And I've seen some of the first couple episodes of the first season, like, in Japanese, and I think JoJo is a show that is best watched in Japanese. The dub is good, the dub is fine, and they are over the top acting, which for JoJo, like, makes sense.
Yes.
So, but I feel like if you like want like the most authentic JoJo's Bizarre Adventure experience, like watching
real anime shit.
Yeah. If you want to be capital A anime fan, you want to watch in Japanese. Yeah, I'm really enjoying it. It's silly. It's so silly. It's so ridiculous.
And it's the most extra gay RuPaul Drag Race, like, anime in existence. It's wild to me you have not watched it.
Yeah, it is, like, everything that I love. It's, like, over the top. It's super campy. It's, like, it's really fun. It's, like, it's being serious, but they're making these, like, really ridiculous poses and all this other fun stuff. And it's literally everything that I could ever ask for in anything. And I'm kicking myself in the butt that I didn't start it sooner, but I'm here now, and that's what matters.
That's what matters. And it only gets, I'll just let you know, it only gets gayer.
Yeah, good.
The boys only get prettier.
Good.
And once you, they're in part five right now, which part five is very gay.
Mm-hmm.
And then once you get done catching up, just read.
I'm gonna read.
Read there, because I'm on the current JoJo now, and it's a lot.
Good.
It's weird, and it's it's truly bizarre. I'll say that much.
I love that. So I also started watching the slime anime, which is very good. Like,
it's great.
It's really good.
It reminds me of Slayers. It's not like as good as Slayers, but it feels like Slayers.
And like, I think my initial like hesitancy about watching it kind of came from like, I'm so burnt out on like the isekai like thing.
Oh, agreed.
And
it's a terrible genre.
It's like I'm really burnt out on isekai as a genre, and I was like, they're going to do the thing where there's going to be a girl and it's going to do that thing that they do in, like, every other episode of fucking Seven Deadly Sins, where they're like, oh, look at the girl at her titties. Mm-hmm. But, like, it doesn't do that. There was, like, one scene where, like, where the slime was like, oh, like, I'm betwixt several women's breasts.
And, like, real talk, Slime Boy will talk about titties on occasion on the show.
Right.
And he'll be like, damn, I'm basically one big titty, and I got these titties on me, and it feels great.
Yeah.
There's a lot of female characters in the show do have a habit of, like, if they hold him, resting their titties on his head.
Mm-hmm.
But outside, like, he's never, like, super lecherous about it. Mm-hmm. It's just like, oh, good, titties.
Right, right. And also because, like, with him being a slime, doesn't have, like, the appendages to be, like, and, like, really gross and grabby-grabby.
And you haven't gotten as far to, like, when he has a human form and stuff, right?
Not yet. I mean, you see the human form in the intro.
Yes. There's some really cool, interesting, nice choices that are made there that, like, make me like him as a character even more.
Yeah, yeah. But I'm, like, of the isekai genre of shows, this probably is, like, what, like, the one that I like the most out of all the ones that I've tried and stopped watching and all of that stuff. I really like it a lot. So that show's really good. And another isekai that I'm watching that I do enjoy but has a lot more problems than the slime anime is Rising of the Shield Hero.
Yes.
That show has a couple of problems.
I've heard that it has like a weird take on like slavery.
Yeah,
that's a little bit cringy.
There's a weird take on that. Like I like the characters a lot. I like the world a lot. The main character is like so like broody and angry. Like it was such a huge tonal shift. But like I get where the tone shift of him comes from, based on what happens in the show and what happens to him, but it is such an extreme reaction, and for him to have the same, like, such extreme reaction since the thing that happened to him happened, and the characters around him are, like, trying to, like, embrace him and, like, you know, care for him because they're like, you're, like, a really great person. Like, you can be a really great person when you, like, stop, like, being a little bitch. Like, and it's... Yeah, like, I find it interesting. I really like a lot about that show. Like, if you haven't watched Shield Hero, it's another isekai, and the whole premise is there are four heroes. There's a shield hero, there's a spear hero, a sword, and a bow hero. And they're all four boys that come from different versions of Japan. So they're not at all from the same world, like, the same version of Japan. It's, like, they're all from Japan, but, like, it's, like, a different timeline in each one. Like, they, because they, like, in the first episode, they're like, oh, like, who's the prime minister? And who's on, like, the, who's on this, whatever currency bill? Like, and asking, and they all say different answers. But for the three of them, of the heroes, the spear, the sword, and the bow, the world is, like, very excited about them being there. But when the dude that's the shield hero goes to this bookstore and starts looking through this book about the shield hero, he looks at the pages and they're blank. It's like, oh, here's a shield hero. There's nothing here. And gets sucked into this world. And so when they meet the king is very excited to see the bow, the staff, and the sword hero. But they're like, oh, the shield hero's here too. Okay. And they have to, like, form a party of people to kind of, like, help stop... there's basically, you know, like the Blood Moon in Breath of the Wild, where basically all the bad guys show back up in the world?
It's
that concept, but, like, it happens every couple of weeks, and monsters come from the sky and basically are, like, ravaging the world. And so it's up to the four heroes to build up a team of allies and to stop these waves of, like, destruction from happening. But what I really like that the show does is that it's from the perspective of the shield hero, and the shield hero is kind of dealing with the after effects of what the other heroes are doing in that world. Mm. So there's I really like this portion a lot, and I think it's a part of the show where, like, you really where, like, you start to kind of, like, like the shield hero a lot, because he can't attack, so because he only has a shield. And when he tries to get a sword at the item shop, like, he's, like, shocked, and it's like, you are prohibited from using items outside of the one that you are assigned. So he can't, he only has a shield, so he can't attack. So that's where the weird, like, slave thing comes into play. Like, he goes to this, like, animal, like, this, like, this, like, circus tent that has all of these different beasts and monsters that you can get, and he rescues this little raccoon girl, who she has like little raccoon ears and everything. Her name is Raftalia.
Yeah, it's like a cat girl, but raccoon ears.
She's really cute. Like, Raftalia is a really cool character. I like her a lot.
Her design is adorable.
Her design is real good.
I watched the show just for her.
Yeah. Maybe. Yeah. Like, it's real good. And he's like, all right, I'll take this one. He's like, I need you to fight for me because I can't fight myself. So he's very, like, cold to her, like, at first, and she's sick. And one of the things that the shield hero can do is absorb like scraps from monsters, like that, like leaves and like to make new shield abilities. And so he eventually is able to make potions. And so he makes a potion that heals her. And she's like, "Thank you so much for healing me. You didn't have to do this." And he's like, "Yeah." He's like, "I didn't have to do it, but I need you to be able to fight and this and that." And so he's like, they start to build a bond. And then, of course, in anime fashion, she starts to fall in love with him, and that's a whole thing. But they also have another familiar that comes into play, where like she hatches from like an egg, kind of like a fat chocobo.
Oh yeah, the bird girl, right?
Yeah. Philo is very cute. Philo is super cute.
What I saw looked really cute.
Yeah, the designs are really, really good. But what I was getting at, there's a portion to where once it's Raftalia and Philo, and they're all kind of traversing together and going through these like different missions and all that stuff, they get to a place to where there's a village that everyone in the village is sick. And everyone in the village is sick because the sword hero had come to the town before and slayed the dragon that was up on this peak. But since the dragon was slain and the carcass was still there, all of, like, the gross, like, insides of the dragon were basically, like, tarnishing, like, all of... and poisoning all of the land. And it was coming down to the village, and it was also coming via, like, waves of really, like, blustery winds and causing everyone to be sick. So in order to, you know, heal everybody, he makes all these potions and he heals all the townspeople. But then he has to go and deal with the carcass of the dragon, and it then becomes, like, a zombie dragon, and they have to fight it. And, like, that fight scene was really cool, where they have to, like, defeat this, like, zombie dragon. But, yeah, like, it's cool that the show kind of... because, like, all the other guys think it's a game. Because, like, they kind of think it's, like, a Sword Art Online situation. They're like, oh, this is, like, a video game, because you have, like, stats and health bars and all that stuff. Naofumi, who is the shield hero, is like... this isn't a fucking game. Like, the things that you do affect the people that are in these villages. Everything that you do has a consequence here. Like, you can't just go around just swiping at shit and not expect for there to be consequences. So, everybody hates Naofumi, but because, like, of the initial setup, which is really... It's really shitty what happens to him in the beginning of the show. I don't want to give it away. Which is kind of the cause of him to be, like, super angry and aggressive to everyone in this world. It's really cool. I've been enjoying it a lot, and it's one of those Crunchyroll shows that are also being dubbed simultaneously, so the dub is really good. I've been watching it in English, and I've really, really enjoyed it, so I would still recommend Rising of the Shield Hero. I started watching Junlock today, the Rooster Teeth show.
I've heard it's really good.
It's really good. Like, there are really good designs, there are really good mechs. Michael B. Jordan's the voice of the main character, so, I mean, I gotta support Michael Bay Jordan. I love him. And then, of course, still watching Promise Motherfucking Neverland, which is so good.
That show is the fucking... I get the fucking fire stuck in my head constantly. God, that show is, like... all I can tell y'all is, like, that season's about to end. Go read the manga.
Yeah, once the season is over, I'm about to read all of it. But man, it is so good. It is so good. I'm all caught up. I could go on and on about it, but we're already at an hour, so we need to move on. But that show was good. But yeah, let's take a little break and then we'll talk about some news.
All right. Sounds good.
Cool. Hey, we're back and we're going to talk about stuff that's happening in the world of the video games. So, Sony has decided to go the route of Nintendo and do their own kind of Nintendo Direct-esque shows. So, the Sony State of Play just happened yesterday. Was it the 25th? Mm-hmm. That just happened yesterday, and they announced a couple of things. I know they talked about some VR stuff, and they also showed some new stuff from Mortal Kombat 11, and... Okay, like Mortal Kombat is a violent game and always has been, but like this one, it's on some new shit. Mm-hmm. It's on another level where I'm like, ooh, like I was already kind of queasy with Mortal Kombat 10, like the last one, but this one is like extreme. Like it's a little bit too gory and violent for me, so I will be skipping this Mortal Kombat, but it looks really good. Like, all of the character models look even better than they did in the previous game. And, like, the black women actually look like black women. They don't look horrible. So, like,
it's... Yeah, they look
good. That game looks really good. The game looks really, really good. I'm excited for people that are excited about Mortal Kombat. I will not be playing this one because it's too violent for me. But it's looking good from everything that I've seen of it.
Someone described... the Sony State of Play being like, Sony did a great job of like kind of doing a Nintendo Direct, except they forgot to include games that people want to play.
Right.
It was weird. It's like, I get what they're doing, and I think it's a good thing for them to do.
Yeah. Oh, for
but
sure.
Like, they didn't reveal anything that was interesting. Like, they led with that Iron Man VR thing, which is like, that's cool. And PlayStation VR has sold a lot of units, but like, it's still not that wide. So, and it looked okay.
Yeah.
And it's just like, I just don't think I saw anything in that direct where I was like, hell yeah. So hyped for this. Or like an announcement where I was just like, oh fuck, they're doing this.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I just don't think that happened.
Yeah. Like, I feel like it'll get better over time. And especially as we get closer and closer to E3, and it'll be more interesting things, but I'm sure the things that they announced were interesting to someone, but I think just for both you and I, there was nothing that was really interesting to us. They did show some stuff from, like, the Crash Team Racing, if I'm not
which
mistaken.
Which is, I do love Crash Team Racing.
Yeah, which, in some cases, I think it is better than Mario Kart in certain cases.
I think it has a better map design.
Yeah. So what's cool is that they're including, like, the original PS1 character models that you can choose from in the game, which I love little things like that, to where they, like, do, like, a throwback to the original when it's, like, a new thing. It's, like, HD and all that good shit. But they, like, let's throw in the old shit, too, for the old school kids. Which is
all right, here we go. There is Marvel's Iron Man VR, Days Gone I'm not interested in, but there have been more recent more recent builds of it. People are saying it's like getting interesting. Like people were expecting nothing, and I think it's starting to be like, I don't know, it could be cool. Ready Set Heroes did look cute.
I didn't see that at all. It looked like
Gauntlet, but like animals. It was like furry gauntlet. It was cute.
Cute. Okay.
More PSVR stuff. No Man's Sky, which is whatever. Observation looked kind of dope. It's a sci-fi thriller that I think Devolver Digital is publishing. And then, like, yeah, Mortal Kombat, Five Nights at Freddy's VR, Crash Team Racing, and then, like, a bunch of just VR games they showed for a second. So, like, it was fine. It just wasn't, like, I was curious because everyone's been like, yo, Sony doesn't have any games left for the PS4. Like,
yeah.
Sekiro and then, like, Days Gone are going to be the last things.
Mm-hmm.
Or rather, Last of Us 2.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, oh, maybe that won't be the case. Maybe they're going to talk about things. that are like big titles, and then they didn't, and I was like, oh, okay, I think they are out of games.
Yeah,
like they're out of, I think they're holding off till the PS5.
Yeah, they're fresh out of games
for like really big titles, which is fine. That's fine. That makes sense.
Sure. Let's see. Also who had a direct of sorts earlier that day, Apple had their event where they were basically talking all about services, which was cool to kind of see like a conversation centering around services and not necessarily devices, like new hardware, I should say, for Apple. So it was cool to see that. And, I guess we're talking about this only because Apple announces Apple Arcade, which is their subscription-based service for all of their premium games that are on the App Store. So games like Monument Valley and other games that are basically paid games will have some sort of subscription model that you pay like a flat fee, and then you have access to all of these games that otherwise you wouldn't necessarily see in the App Store. Because when there's like Clash Royale and Candy Crush and all these other like freemium games that are available in the App Store, people kind of gravitate to those first. And not as many people will gravitate to the ones that are, again, really great and really meaningful games. Like Monument Valley is amazing, and Lara Croft Go is so good. But like, I think the average person that's on their iPhone isn't going to play a Monument Valley. They're going to play like Candy Crush or Best Fiends or something like that. So,
or some gotcha shit. Yeah. I'm of a couple of different minds because of like the subscription, everything going subscription based.
Yeah.
It's like, I do wonder how, I would like to see how sustainable that is for developers.
That's my biggest thing too. I'm like how sustainable is this going to be for developers? If there's a flat subscription rate, how do developers make money from that?
Yeah, exactly. And that's the only thing I get worried about. That said though, I mean, I think it makes sense. It's cool. Like they haven't really had, like mobile gaming hasn't had something like that. So it's a cool step in the right direction. Hopefully Apple is like subsidizing them, to some degree, like so that, especially for like, the exclusivity aspect of it.
Right.
But yeah, we'll see. Like, I think it's a cool idea. I just don't know if, I don't know anyone who's like so into mobile gaming that would go for it, but I'm sure there are people out there that are.
I'm sure those people exist. It's definitely not you or I, but I'm sure that person who pretty much only engages with gaming through their smartphone and not necessarily owning a console, this is how they interface with games. And it's cool that they're kind of doing like a similar thing to what Google Stadia is going to be doing, but the difference here is that all this content will still be available for you to download and play offline. So
I don't trust Stadia. Yeah, that shit's sus to me.
Yeah, my biggest thing for Stadia is like what are the internet requirements? What are the bandwidth requirements? Like the internet as like a whole, as an infrastructure, like how are you going to support 60 frames per second 4K games streaming, especially in a world where net neutrality is like up in the air? We don't know what that's even going to look like now.
It's like constantly, yeah.
Like it's constantly being like, oh, like we're still trying to fight for net neutrality and all that stuff. So like with that being like a key component of it, like that I think is going to vastly affect how Stadia as a model is even going to work. I'm not the kind of person that like wants something to fail. I would like for it to succeed, because again, I'm all about making gaming accessible to as many people as possible with the current hardware or whatever it is that they have. And if Stadia is a model in which games can become more accessible to people, like I'm all for that, but I'm just worried at how sustainable of a model that's going to be and if it's going to actually work. And with the track record of things from Google to where they'll be super behind a project for about 18 months and then abandon it. So yeah. I'm hoping that Stadia isn't that. I hope that it is something that they continue to put resources into, that they continue to refine, that they continue to make better, because if we can continue to make cloud gaming a thing and we can make it, again, making gaming accessible to everyone is a good thing. But I worry about how the model is even going to work. in general.
It's a great idea. Yeah. I'm glad to see a heavy hitter behind it. Microsoft is doing something similar with xCloud. Mm-hmm. Like, I think that that certainly is going to be the future of gaming.
Oh, absolutely.
Moving forward, or moving, like, but I do wonder if it's, I do wonder if it's still too soon. Like, obviously, what was the name? There's a company that tried this, like, 6 years ago. OnLive, was it? And then they got bought up, and their whole thing was exactly this. Was just, like, you'll be able to just stream games from wherever. Yes, OnLive, which was a streaming gaming service that I think got bought up by Sony at some point.
Yeah.
Because I think Sony used some of the tech for PlayStation Now.
Yeah.
So, like, yeah, 2003. So, God, OnLive was in 2003 was when they founded it.
And this is when, like, broadband was, like, the highest.
Still new. Yeah, yeah,
still new. Yeah.
Like, or consumer broadband, at least.
Mm-hmm.
So, it's a thing where it's, like, I'm excited to see Google try. Yeah. I had some friends that did the beta, and they were pretty pleased with how it worked. They said it did a really good job. But... yeah, it's still, I mean, even, like, using streaming stuff in-house, like, using, like, Steam Link.
Yeah.
I'm like, I can see artifacting. Like, mm-hmm. I can see, like, the colors get crushed in the screen. Like, there's just enough where I'm like, it takes away from my experience.
Yeah.
It's the same as, like, you know, I bought Spider-Verse digital, mm-hmm. and it's 4K, HDR, everything. And it looks really good.
Yeah.
But it doesn't look as good as the... like as ultra HD Blu-ray,
yeah.
Because you're talking completely different bit rates,
right.
And it's different. So I'm excited for it. I'm excited for it to be a thing where it's like, yo, if you don't have the money for a console, you can play this instead, and you might have a slightly less fidelity, but it's still going to be really good.
Yeah.
But yeah, I just, and like you said, honestly, more than any of that, Google's lack of actually sticking to anything is honestly my biggest concern.
Yeah.
Is that they're going to be like, yo, this is cool, this is dope, and then it's just going to, like, dissolve.
Right. That's my biggest thing as well. So here's hoping. And in exciting news in relationship to Persona, so there was a little preview trailer for Persona 5 The Royal, which is looking like it's going to be the enhanced version of Persona 5, but the most important part was that it showed a new character, and mm-hmm. and it was a new female character that was wearing the Shujin Academy uniform. So what that hopefully is telling us is that we're going to have an option to play as a girl protagonist in Persona 5, which would be amazing.
Now, talk about sus. Persona team is about the most sus.
Oh, yeah. Oh, 100%.
And that's why it's like, I'm excited for it.
Mm-hmm.
I assume they'll announce it on Switch.
Yeah.
As well as everything else, because that's how they tend to do, especially, like, I think the Golden was on Vita.
Mm-hmm.
It makes sense for the Royal to be on Switch, if not elsewhere. I'm not worried. I feel like it's probably just going to be, like, a new character and a new character story, like they did with Golden, where they just kind of added another character that had stuff going on and mm-hmm. had, like, confidant stuff going on.
Yeah.
But I do very much so wish that it's a game where you get to play as her.
Yeah, because, I mean, that's what they did with Persona 3 Portable, was that they introduced the female protagonist option for you to pick the get-go for that. So I'm
so what's weird to me, though, is that, like, in 3, you were just picking a female version of the main protagonist, right?
Mm-hmm.
So this, I'm curious, because this character has already voiced, like, a worldview and an opinion
mm-hmm.
that is not Joker's, obviously, mm-hmm. which means that she's not just, like, the female Joker.
Yeah.
Right? Right? I'm still hopeful, though, because if you let me play Persona as a lady, then I'm just like, all right.
Yeah, I really, really want us to be able to play as a girl and be able to romance the boys. That would be a great option. Or even also romancing the girls too, because I would definitely play as her and then romance on as my girlfriend with my girl Joker. That would be super cool.
I feel like, based on the character they showed me, I feel like I'd probably romance Makoto.
Mm-hmm.
Because I almost romanced her anyway.
Yeah.
But the main character, I don't know if Futaba feels like the right pick for her. So
yeah, I don't think Futaba's the right pick for her either. If that, yeah. If this is the case, but yeah.
But Makoto's nasty, so I'm like, I love Makoto so much. She's so nasty. So is Haru's nasty too, in her own different way.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
They're all so good.
Sure.
What else we got? What's going on? Two new Switch models this year.
Yep. I believe
talking
that.
About like a low end one. I mean, they've been talking about it for a bit, so I think it'll happen.
Mm-hmm.
They've been talking about a lower end one that will act more as a replacement for the 3DS. So I'm gonna assume we're gonna see something. I wonder if we're gonna see something like. I almost wonder if we're gonna see like a Switch. No, they wouldn't do that. If they made a Switch that's basically a clamshell.
Yeah.
Like a Switch DS, basically.
I think it's gonna be kind of like more. If this is gonna happen, it's gonna be like a PS Vita situation. Oh.
Uh huh. Or like the 2DS. I just feel like it's going to be a cheaper, like, made more for kids.
I think it's going to be, like, the Joy-Cons don't come off. It's going to be, like, one piece.
Yes, and, okay.
Yeah, mm-hmm. It's going to be, it's, I think it'll probably retain a similar shape to the Switch as it is. Just kind of have that same feel. But it's going to be a little bit smaller, and it's going to be in a bunch of different candy colors for kids. And for anybody that doesn't need to, that doesn't have a desire to play it docked, it's going to be for those people, which I think is there's absolutely a customer base for that. And I hope that, that they do it. And then the
other version is going to be like a more advanced, not as advanced as like PS4, Xbox One, but it's going to be a little bit more powerful. And they said specifically it'll have advanced features targeted at avid video gamers. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, all I want are Joy-Cons that don't hurt my hands. That's literally it.
For me, it's just like, I just want the system to have Bluetooth built into it so I can just pair my AirPods to it.
Oh, yeah. Bluetooth built in would be dope. Also, just like any headset that supports Bluetooth, that'd be nice.
Yeah. I just want Bluetooth built into the system. I'm happy to pay a little bit more money for it, too. It's fine.
It'll be a higher res screen,
probably.
That's what they're saying. Which is dope. I can get behind that.
The biggest thing that I really want for the Switch, and mainly like the Switch UI, is that I really want them to do, like, the themes, like they do for the 3DS. Like, I want them to bring, like the skins for the themes, like you can get them for your PlayStation 4. Like, mm-hmm. I have the Persona 3 Dancing Moonlight theme on my PlayStation currently, and on my DS, my 3DS, I had the Sega Dreamcast theme, and what I love so much about that is when you open up your 3DS is that
mm-hmm.
it makes like the sounds that the Dreamcast makes when it's like revving up, when it's like trying to read the discs. And it plays the song. It's for the Overworld in Phantasy Star Online is the background music for it.
Oh.
Like, I just want those custom themes. I just want those little custom themes. And bring back Nintendo Badge Arcade. Like, I love that. I love that so much. It was so cute.
It was like really dumb but really fun.
Yeah, it was really stupid, but I absolutely fucking love Nintendo Badge Arcade a lot. Because like it's already there, or at least let me like pick a different color for the background besides the white or black. Like I want it to be pink.
Yeah, give me some more features. That's all.
Yeah, like I'm down, and I feel like that'll eventually happen. I feel like that like it's the system has been set up for that to be a thing, so here's hoping. The system UI could use a bit of an overhaul anyway, so I'm hoping that that does happen in time. But yeah, I'm excited for it. I'm sure that that's probably going to be announced at E3, and that'll be out by fall, so that whatever holiday titles are going to be the holiday titles for Switch, they'll bundle that with the Pokemon. So this is lining up perfectly for that. So fast forward to E3, they're going to announce the two models of the Switch, and when Pokemon comes out this fall, they're gonna bundle the cheaper one with Pokemon, because that's what they did with the 2DS. With every Pokemon game that has since come out since the 2DS has been available, they've always bundled it with Pokemon at the end of the year. So
y'all know my dumbass is gonna buy that thing like the moment they announce
I'm drinking that dumb bitch juice, and I'm paying I'm pre-ordering it on Amazon immediately. That's
And then you know what's going to happen is that, like, I don't know, within 6 months, they'll be like, yo, here's the Zelda edition. Here's the Link's Awakening edition.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I'm going to be like, damn, why'd I fucking buy...
Why'd I buy this bullshit right now? I should have waited.
God damn it. Ugh. And then I could be like, oh, also, here's the new Metroid Prime. Here's a Metroid edition.
Yeah, that's what I was just going to say. Why don't they fuck you up real bad and make a Metroid one?
Damn it. Don't do it to me.
Yeah.
Had to do it to him, says Nintendo.
Says Nintendo.
Says Bowser.
Mm-hmm. Says Bowser. Oh, Reggie.
President. I know, Reggie. It's not the same, man.
It's not the same.
It's all right. I'll follow Reggie into the dark. EA laid off 350 people.
Well, that fucking sucks.
Yep, marketing, publishing, other roles. I do. I mean, this stuff always happens for like a bunch of different reasons. I do wonder if what must be poor performance from Anthem had anything to do with it.
Partially that, and then didn't they just also pay Ninja $1 million to play?
Yeah, they did.
Play Apex Legends?
Yeah. So that's the thing, though. They should be making money off Apex.
Right. Like,
microtransactions should be doing well, because Apex is doing incredibly well.
Yeah.
So, but Anthem also seems to... I haven't seen... I don't know if they've talked numbers, man, but, like, no one has good things to say about Anthem, and even my friends that got Anthem when it came out have already stopped playing it.
That's such a bummer, because and I'm glad that I didn't buy it, like, because I wanted to. I was very, like... I'm going to get it, but I was listening to all the stuff on Waypoint, and if I'm going to trust any gaming publication, for sure...
Oh, it's Waypoint, for sure.
I'm going to go with Waypoint and Austin Walker, because he knows about a mech. He knows about a mech game and all that stuff, and it's like, they all want to like that game. But again, I think, like they said, it's going to be the Destiny 1 thing, where in 6 months, it's going to be good. But I'll wait.
That's what I'm hoping?
I'll wait.
There's shit in there that I like. So yeah, I'm hoping that's the case.
Like there's a lot of stuff that's in there that I really like about it. But man, who knows? It's definitely a bummer that it's not doing well. But I hope that everyone that was laid off from EA finds new jobs pretty quickly. If there's anything that I can say about the gaming like industry from like the people that actually work in it from that side on Twitter, is that whenever a major studio has like a huge swath of layoffs, people that work at other studios are like, hey, like, we are thriving and we're hiring, like, come work with us, send us your resumes, and people are sharing that stuff left and right, which is really cool to see. Like, so it's cool to see that from the development side that there's so many passionate developers that love what they do, that love the industry, that love making games, and want to see other people succeed, that want to make games as well, and lend a hand and at least saying, like, hey, like, shoot us an email, send us your resumes, and let's try to get you in here so that you're not out of work for a long time. Because since games aren't unionized, which they should be, like, a lot of these places don't leave these employees with severance of any kind. So it's... Yeah, there's like a... There's a camaraderie in the bullshit that is the landscape of game dev work, but it's cool that people are really adamant about rallying and getting other people into work.
Which, thankfully, GDC just happened, and one of like the themes of GDC that was like you were hearing from everyone was talking about the industry unionizing.
Yeah.
Which, like, that drum hasn't in the past been beaten as hard.
Mm-hmm.
Certainly it has been beaten, just not as, like, as unified, it sounds like. Right. So hopefully the industry is moving in that direction so that, like, we can get better. I mean, for me, it's like, let people live better, healthier lives, and they will create better, healthier games.
Absolutely.
Like, overworking people, making them crunch, making them burn out isn't going to do anyone any favors.
Nope.
You might, like, pump out a game faster, but it's just going to make turnover in the industry worse.
Yeah, absolutely.
There's, like, very few veterans in the industry now, and you're not going to have quality if you don't have people that have experience.
Right,
so.
Yeah. These people that are, like, that could be considered legends in the industry are out because they are just like, I'm done. Like, the burnout is real. And even in my, like, brief time of working on, like, the game development side, like, working for, like, a studio, like, like, you could see, like, we, like, I saw the turnover happening in real time, and especially, like, the things that are the first things to go are QA and customer support are the first things that go. So, yeah, it's kind of a bummer, but I really do hope that with the drum being beaten as hard as it is now, that there is some action that happens to help get games unionized, because it absolutely needs it so bad.
Yep. And it's we knew it was coming, but we didn't know when. But now we know.
Yeah.
Evangelion on Netflix, June 21st.
Woo woo.
Got an official release date. We also found out it's not going to be the same dub cast. It's been since like 1990 something. Which is, I feel two ways about. I think it was either Amanda Winley or Tiffany Grant, maybe Amanda Winley, who was tweeting about it angrily, understandably. I guess, because the thing is, like, they're all the voices for the, they've been the voices for the remake movies, the rebuild movies. And as far as I know, unless they change it, and as far as they know, I'd imagine they're the voices for 4.0 whenever it comes out, unless this changes to the new people, who knows. Licensing's weird. But basically, I believe what they said was the original voice actors were brought in to audition, but it definitely felt like it was more of a like a humoring thing. I think some accounts said that they weren't brought into audition until they raised a fuss over it, because they were just like, yo, wait, what, you guys are recasting these roles that we've been playing for 20 years basically. So the feelings I have on it, one is from a like person who wants to be a voice actor and deals with like the acting industry and has talent, and how much like that super sucks. The other side of me is also like, the original dub isn't very good.
Yeah, it's not so great.
So I'm kind of like down to hear new people tackle the roles in like hear them maybe done better. So that's like my shitty fan take on it. It's just like, I'm excited to hear it sound like a little bit different than it does. I think it was Tiffany Grant specifically who was like, this was the first time I had to audition for Asuka, which was really surreal. And I was just like, you didn't have to audition to play. Well, like, that's like, that was that, that's to me, that's a, and then in a nutshell, that was like anime dubbing in like the early, like the mid 90s.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Was just like, oh, hey, you come do this thing.
Right.
So yeah, so it'll be interesting to see how that works out, and hopefully the new dub is good. I'm also like excited for like new people to get an opportunity to slip into those roles. But it does sound like it could have been I don't know, communicated or handled a little bit better.
It kind of makes me think of when they did the Powerpuff Girls reboot, and they did a new cast for all the girls. And, like, none of the original voice actresses for Blossom Bulbs and Buttercup were even consulted, like, at all.
Yeah.
But at least it was a little bit different in this position, because they actually, like, let them know. But I think it was that, it's that thing where you said where they wouldn't have even have auditioned for it had they not made a fuss about it. Yeah.
So we'll see. But I'm just glad that, like, I know, I'm really glad for more people to get exposed to Evangelion and just be like as confused and depressed.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm really excited to be able to experience Ava again. I'm going to make Brandon watch it with me.
Yeah, I'm definitely going to do, I don't know, I feel like most people in our Discord have probably watched it, but if not, we could definitely do a like a watch anime club. Watch where we watch some episodes per however many weeks, and that'd be fun.
Yeah, that would be super fun. I'd be super down to do that.
Speaking of our Discord, we got a bunch of questions from you guys. So
y'all are messy.
I gotta scroll up a bunch because y'all just got nasty in here. Okay, well, the first one comes from Goat, and we've already shamed Goat about this, but Goat asked, who's your favorite anime boy, and would you let him suck your toes? So wow. My quick answer, there's two. I love Lupin, but I don't know. I don't want Lupin to touch me, though. I feel very Fujiko about it, where I'm just like, I love Lupin, but I don't think I want Lupin to touch me. Like, I don't want to give him the satisfaction.
Yeah.
Now, Kamina, it's a different story.
Yeah.
I love that big stupid boy.
Yeah, you let that big stupid boy get nasty on your toes.
Oh, I mean, listen, if I'm gonna let you touch me, I don't care what, like, you just do whatever you want to do.
Yeah.
I don't have any restrictions. Get crazy. I'm not even into toe stuff. I don't, if you're like, if you gotta do it.
Like, if that's your thing, then, you know, bon appetit.
Oh, damn. Gourmet me.
I guess my favorite anime boy still today is Trunks, and no. I just, no.
Oh my god, Trunks would never ask, though. Well, it depends. Future Trunks would never.
Yeah, I,
yeah, like, just... you take non-future Trunks, like, getting to the age of future Trunks.
Yeah.
And I feel like he'd be, like, a total fuckboy.
Yeah.
But future Trunks is too shy and too kind. Mm-hmm. He would never.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
He would do that weird hand thing he does in the first episode he shows up in.
Yeah.
To your dick. And then blow it up. Yeah. Along with, like, half your torso. But it'd be good.
Yeah, that would be amazing.
It'd be real good.
It'd be just blow the whole thing off.
God, when Trunks showed up and he was just like, yo, I have a sword. And I was like, yo, this guy has a sword.
Mm-hmm.
And then he was like, also, I have a sword, but watch this. Fucking Naruto. Before Naruto even was Naruto.
Yep.
Ninjutsu bullshit. And then shot a beam. I was like, yo, this is dope. This guy's extra.
Yeah. And his blue.
Goku just puts his hands together.
And just blew, like, the whole dick off.
Like, most people just, like, take their hands and put them together. Yeah. Or, like Vegeta just, like, mm-hmm. bitch slaps the air a bunch and shoots out little power balls. But Trunks is like, I have to do, like, 20 weird hand things.
Yeah.
So good.
It's true. So the next question comes from Professor Litwick, and it says, which would you be more scared of? Some crazy white family who wants to steal your body, like in Get Out, or a literal duplicate of yourself who knows all of your strengths, weaknesses, and will stop at nothing to destroy you, like in Us? Just kill me. Just,
yeah, it's not nearly as,
yeah, I just end it all. I just,
also because, like, I don't know, I've had to deal with, like, crazy white families wanting to steal all sorts of my things, like,
yeah,
my neighborhood,
yeah,
like,
yeah,
like so many things.
Yeah.
So I'm just like, whatever,
yeah,
I'm used to it.
Yeah,
but, like, a duplicate of me, I don't think a duplicate of me could do it, though.
Yeah, I don't think duplicate me could do it either.
I think duplicate me would be too horny for me.
Just too horny.
Just too horny.
It's way too horny. I just think that, like, if I was encountered with another me, we would just hate each other. I don't know. It's like, we're the same. Get away from me.
DJ, love yourself,
oh,
literally.
God.
Love yourself.
I mean, there's some mornings where I wake up and I'm like, ugh, you again. Jesus.
DJ.
God.
You're so good. No.
Oh, thank you, baby. God. Yeah, just end me.
From Wolvie Chick, I'm watching Godzilla, and I just realized that Elizabeth Olsen is part of the Olsen twin family. Who's your favorite Olsen? Damn.
Ooh.
Damn, how do I feel about those twins?
Ooh, I don't feel
anything.
I don't think I feel anything for either of them.
You got it, dude. That's all I remember.
So, what I do have feelings about is there used to be, like, I think it was Funny or Die or College Humor or something, but there was a web series called Very Mary Kate, and it was so funny. And if I had to pick an Olsen, it would be the Very Mary Kate version of Mary Kate Olsen.
My favorite Olsen is the horse from their video game. Didn't they have a horse video game? Is this a fever dream?
They probably did.
Olsen twin video game. I'm Googling this right now because I swear to God it's a real thing. Mary-Kate. Oh, wait. No, wait. There's no horse
game. I mean, there were a ton of Barbie games where she had a horse.
There are a lot of those. Maybe I'm right. Damn, this is a roller coaster already. All right, video games, 1999, Game Boy Color, the New Adventures of Mary Kate and Ashley. Let's see, Mary Kate and Ashley, Dance Party of the Century.
No.
Get a Clue, Magical Mystery Mall, Pocket Planet.
Magical Mystery Winter Mall. Circle.
Winter Circle. Is that a horse game? Is there a horse? I'm gonna, where's that box art? Where's that box art? Yes, it is. Yes, it is.
You found it.
I fucking found that horse.
You found the horse.
Oh, Mary Kate and Ashley Olsen. Winter Circle from Dual Star Interactive and published by Club Acclaim.
What was it like to work on the Mary Kate and Ashley Olsen video
know,
game?
I want to know
if it, you are a dev on Mary on the Mary Kate and Ashley Olsen games.
Dog,
shoot us an email.
2001.
I want to know.
They had three games in 2000.
Wow.
What was this renaissance of Mary Kate? They had two games in 1999, Game Boy Color and PC. They had three games in 2000, two Game Boy Color and one on PlayStation. Two games in 2001, Winter Circle and Crush Course. Girls Night Out.
Oh.
Sweet 16, License to Drive.
Oh, wow. License to Drive.
Is that like, did they just reskin Need for Speed? I hope so.
Wow.
They reskinned Gran Turismo. It's so hardcore.
Is it really a Gran Turismo reskin?
No, okay, it's not. Okay. But that'd be great. Let's see. One of the developers is Nspace, who worked on at North American release date. Last thing, they worked on WWE 2K Mobile, mm-hmm. Skylanders Swap Force, Roller Coaster Tycoon 3D, mm-hmm. Tron Evolution, Toy Story 3, the video game, and then the other group is Tantalus. What did Tantalus do? Damn, they made a Stargate game? Wipeout for Saturn? This is less interesting than I thought it would be. Anyway,
our FBI agents must be listening to us because the Olsen twins just appeared on our dashboard. And I just retweeted it.
Wait, what the fuck?
Yeah.
Yo.
I just retweeted it.
Yeah. Twitter. Damn, Jack, get out of my...
My FBI agent knows, man.
Hey, Jack, if you're a fan of the show and listening, ban Nazis, you fuck.
God.
Anyway.
Yeah, any old way.
Peekaboo asks, is The Walking Dead good again? I think it's good again. I don't know, Peekaboo. I don't watch Walking Dead.
Yeah, me neither. I don't know. I couldn't tell you.
I watched the first season, and I was like, this isn't as good as the comic, but maybe it's good. I hope you're enjoying it. If you know what? If you think it's good again, it's probably good. And you can, like, embrace that feeling.
And even if it's bad, and you like it, I like a lot of bad things.
Oh, Lord, Professor Litwick in here with the slam dunk question. Who would be in your ultimate Avengers orgy?
Oh, that's easy.
Am I limited to just Avengers members?
It would be T'Challa, for sure.
Ooh.
It would also be Thor, for sure. Especially after... Little Miss Thing's little her little bending over feeding that animal thing that came up. Who is that? It's like, girl, you are full on bottom. You are feeling your bottom fantasy. Yeah, want to be part of that. Let's see. I'm trying to think who. Oh, you know, throw Cap in there. You know, I like a good old American, all American white boy with a beard. Cap. I mean, it's Chris Evans, so.
I think here's the thing though, like, give me Paul Rudd, Ant-Man.
Ooh, yeah.
Paul get Rudd small.
Be up in there.
Get small, crawl my wiener. I don't care. Just some sounding.
Wow.
Some casual sounding.
Yikes.
Miss Marvel, you got it.
Mm-hmm.
She's the strongest. This version of Spider-Man's too young, otherwise I'd say yes. T'Challa for sure. Mm-hmm. Thor is a must. He's the tentpole of the entire thing, I feel like. And then get Clint Barton the fuck out of here. Not Hulk, but definitely Mark Ruffalo.
Yeah.
I don't want to fuck the Hulk, but Mark Ruffalo.
Yeah, I mean, like, the Hulk would, like, literally tear all of us in half. But also, when they showed his whole ass in, what movie was that where we got to see Hulk's ass?
It was good.
I mean, well, it doesn't matter. It was good.
I just know that, like, Mark Ruffalo is, like, such a good daddy mm-hmm. vibes.
Good daddy vibes. For sure, good daddy vibes.
Ugh. But yeah, if we have to stick to, like, main, like, Avengers characters in the movies, then those. Damn, there's so many questions. King Lupa asked, what fictional Infinity Stone would you wield? And then also asked Professor Litwick how many people in an orgy. Which Litch Barbie said four if you're being stitchy.
Y'all are going to jail.
y'all, if you're being like a real orgy miser, four. That's the only, well, no, I say, if you can say, here's my thing. If there's a word, like a commonly used word, it's not an orgy yet. Mm-hmm. Like threesome, that's not an orgy. Foursome, that's not an orgy. Fivesome, that's an orgy. No one says fivesome.
Yeah.
Because by the time you're at five, you just say orgy.
Yeah. Absolutely.
That's my rule.
Let's see. We're pretty much at an hour and a half, so let's take one more question. Let's see. We'll take this one from Quarter Moose. Quarter Moose says, of the current heroes in the MCU, pick your five to form your Avengers team. Okay. I think my team is just my orgy.
Yeah, I was about to say, it's like Thor, it's Carol Danvers, Ms. Marvel. That's two. I mean, I'll throw Spider-Man in there just because, like, I love Spider-Man too much.
Yeah.
Black Panther, for sure. And... damn, I gotta have Ant-Man up my penis. gotta have him.
I would pick... okay. For sure, it would be Thor, T'Challa, Black Panther. Definitely... no, put Cap in there. Cap's fine. Scarlet Witch, because she's fucking amazing. Let's see. She's technically, I guess, is Okoye an Avenger?
I mean, she's not part of the Avengers, but she's in the
I'm gonna pick Okoye. Yeah.
You know, why not? She's dope.
Okoye is amazing, but that's who I'd pick. So that's gonna do it for us this week. Thank you all so much for listening. And thank you, Ruben, for being here. I miss you very much.
Oh, I miss you too. Oh, DJ, I'm gonna be gone for like all of April, so we need to like figure out some
episodes. I got it. I'm already queuing up. I'm gonna queue up some folks. I know I'm gonna get Rakim on for show.
Just gonna get my replacements in.
Yeah, I'm gonna get Rakim on for sure. Probably Nigel and a couple other folks.
Oh, I miss those boys.
I know, they're so good boys, they're so good. Mm-hmm. Just kisses. Love them. So. So Ruben will be gone because he's going to be in Japan, which I'm super jealous. But it's for your honeymoon with your honey.
It's for my late honeymoon. Yeah, I'll be eating too much to have sex. how a honeymoon should work.
Right. It's like, I'm just going to eat and just rub my belly and then I'm going to go to sleep.
We can have sex back in America. I have anime titties to buy and food to eat.
Oh, man, what a mood. You can find us in a couple of different places. You can find your boy at Oh Hey DJ, that's OHHEYDJ on Twitter and Instagram, because those are the platforms that matter to me. And where can they find you, Ruben?
You can find me at Rubots, ROOBOTS on Twitter and on Instagram. And if you want some comedy stuff, you can check out my other podcast, You're Welcome Hollywood, where we create movies on the fly from audience suggestions. Right now we're in a in-between. We've brought back our sitcom TV show, American Dad, we did it like a year ago as a way to like do some short episodes. And we've brought it back for season two. And it's just as dumb.
Amazing. And then if you want to write into the show, you can always hit us up via email at Magical Boys.
No, not American Dad, President Dad. I'm sorry. That's what it's called. President Dad.
President American Dad. American Dad. American Dad. I was like, it's American Dad.
That cartoon.
Cool, whatever.
We're just ripping off that cartoon.
Perfect. Do it. Do the thing. And you can hit us up with your emails at magicalboyspodcast@gmail.com or our website, just magicalboyspodcast.com. And if you want to hit us up on our Magical Boys Twitter account, it's the Magical Boys on Twitter. That's gonna do it for us. We love you all very much, and we will see you next time. Bye.
Bye.